You're listening to Sleep Time Zone with Kavat Catalyst and Zach Moss.
Okay, go, we're live. Sleep Time's over. Stop it, yeah, watch out. It's Jungle Gym here. Jungle Gym, yeah. Sleep Time's over. Kavat the Catalyst. DJ Zach Morris. Season 4.
Oh, no.
Episode 8. 808, bro.
Episode 808.
Because we're doing a special truncated short edition.
Yes, this is special. This is because our schedules couldn't match up.
Yeah. I had so the takeies to deal with.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Any kind of stuff we make.
But that is perfect because it's 808. We're going to talk about an 808 award.
Yes.
That happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
Hokus.
Yeah. Right. The Hokus.
On K5, the home team.
Yeah. K5, the home team, AKA the stars that shine bright.
That's right. Hosted by Billy V. See it.
Hosted by Billy V,
Billy V, bro. Make that money, girl.
I want you to... I still want your job.
Yeah.
For Rainbow Basketball.
It works.
But I don't want nothing else, though. I just want your job for Rainbow Basketball.
Oh, you don't want to host the Hokus?
No, I don't want to do any of that.
You don't
want to
be like, ladies and gentlemen,
I just want University of Hawaii Basketball.
All right.
And now, introducing the 2018-19 University of Hawaii Rainbow Warrior basketball team. Hey, pretty good. Huh?
I didn't know he does that.
He does the PA? Doesn't he do that?
I thought he's just on the show.
No. He actually does like the halftime. Like, hey, really? Guys, how you doing? Now I've got a halftime half court.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah, it'd be fun, bro.
Here come, we got Ikaika Belding. Gonna make the half court shot. If you win, $50 LNL gift card.
Ikaika Belding.
He's gonna get that.
But how old is that? 40?
He's got pushing points.
Bro, 40,
he was Gen X now.
100 years old. Yeah. Gen X, bro. Baby boomer.
He ain't no millennial, bro. Well, with that abbreviated, okay, well, we gotta get to it here. Abbreviated show, we gotta get to what are you doing? What have you been doing?
Yeah, so
let's
quick,
go with it.
Weekly recap, real quick.
There we go.
So weekly recap. Weekly is good. Weekly recap. I went to, what did I do? Oh, we had Pauhana sessions.
Yeah, the show.
Yeah, the Pauhana sessions in the shop.
Right, Friday night.
In the shop, Friday night, with coins from Broke Mokes, Eastside Kaneohe rapper. Yeah.
And how did that go?
It went really good.
Okay.
Really good. Besides my skateboard getting stolen that night.
Okay. Wait. No, I saw. Okay.
Freaking skateboard got right stolen, to,
hold
bro.
On. I have to ask you. You went into this whole thing about the show and this and that and Hawaii and everybody.
Yeah.
And then at the last tagline, someone took your skateboard.
Yeah. Right there. You always see it.
Yes.
Right there to the left of my door.
They took that one?
I usually get that board to go eat lunch, move my car from getting the ticket, go run an errand or whatever.
Yeah,
big
IG
wheels.
IG story. I see you skating.
Yeah, skateboard, la, la, la. Then either that or I have it in my car. Where I park a couple blocks away and I skate to work. It stays in the same place. It never leaves that door and it never leaves my trunk.
Okay.
So that day, was it Friday came along or was it Saturday?
What time did the show start?
The show started from 6 to 8.
Wait, this was Friday because I did something on Friday.
Well, that's right.
We'll talk about that. Going on at the same time as the show. We'll get to that.
That was awesome.
I really want to talk about the skateboard.
You have to.
I got appalled by this. Like, who the heck? So, how crowded was it in here?
It was maybe...
Because you had the camera this
way. Wasn't really crowded. It was like maybe a good 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 20... No, I'm just visualizing.
Okay,
20, about 25?
25 guys?
30?
Okay. Did you know most of these guys?
I knew the people. I knew the main dudes and women.
Okay.
And then they knew the people, you know, so it's all kind of true branch.
Everybody knew someone.
Kind of everybody knew someone.
So you're telling
either
someone.
Either I seen their face, but
really,
I mean.
Someone you kind of sort of know took your skateboard?
But nobody I knew like you know, like a long time spell, long time.
These are acquaintances is the word.
More acquaintances, right. More people in the scene.
All right.
But a lot of professionals. We have Professor Rod, you know what I mean? He's there.
Professor
and that dude,
Rod.
Yeah, you know, he's a professor. He's a professor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it the guy interviewing him?
Yes.
Okay, he had a great professor looking.
He's from the Bay Area, San Francisco. Shout out San Francisco. And he teaches hip-hop.
He teaches hip-hop?
Yes.
All kind of information going on today.
Rob, telling
Rob,
I'm a very informative dude. See,
what is the name of the class that it says
Professor
hi? What is Professor Rob's class called?
It's basically, he flipped, I think, ethnic studies class. You know, it's
hip hop ethnic, so he kind of flipped it to be able to teach hip hop.
Really? Okay, so he's interviewing.
Yeah.
You got the people there.
People there.
An acquaintance took your skateboard.
See, I didn't want to say anything because I did my due diligence and I looked everywhere and I asked main people, Coins, Professor Rod, people that I know, the guys that, you know.
Of course.
And then from then, everybody's like, you got to go online and blast it and tell everybody. I'm like, what is that going to do? Like,
well, we're talking about it now.
Yeah, no, I mean, but this is like,
I just find that bizarre.
What can I really do?
It's fine. I know, but it's just comical that somebody would do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I kept thinking maybe it's me. Maybe I left it somewhere. But I don't leave it. It's always there.
Yes.
So I think I retract my steps and everything. Just so I didn't want to blame nobody.
Oh, right. I'm not calling anybody out, but.
Yeah, but that's why. If you're out there, you're borrowing my board, come bring them back. It's okay. You can bring it back, bro. You don't got you out there. I'm pleading to you guys in the world. Bring them back, bro. Peter Boy Kemo, Diane Suzuki, bring them back.
Diane Suzuki wants it back.
Dan Suzuki is in the back of Zippy's, brah.
Yes.
Waimalu.
I hope not. Maybe.
She's swamp.
In a silver lining, I kind of hope that it was you that misplaced it.
Then I was hoping. I looked everywhere. I looked under that box. I flipped because I didn't want to accuse nobody. But other people would say, you just better go in and tell everybody where's your board.
All right.
So if you got it, come return it. It's all good. I'm not even mad. Like, borrow, bro. Sometimes you need some ride. No more car, no more bus pass.
No more gas, bro.
No more gas, bro. No more gas, no grass, no, you know.
No bike, no mic.
No bike, no.
No.
No trike.
Hey.
Elephant named Tyke.
Tyke when make.
Anyway, so we had that. It was great. A lot of good hip hop questions was posed that night.
Like
what? Like, does Hawaii hip hop support Hawaii hip hop? Hey,
so
for 20
go, ooh, wow.
For 20 something people, that question.
Really?
I asked that question to
You asked that question, okay.
Because even though they're like 20-ish people, that still kind of made everybody go like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have just laughed.
You could feel it. Everybody has an opinion. And I was just like, I'm going to ask that question.
That's the best question probably.
And then, you know what Coin said?
Here we go.
No.
Exactamundo.
You know? And we can ask our next guest in the next segment.
Oh, yeah.
The same question.
It ties in segues well.
So it was good, though. And then ask Coins, like, yo, how come Hawaii hip hop, no one has made it out? You know, yeah, Drake represents Toronto. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and, you know, Chicago got like Kanye. How come nobody's broken out?
No one's come out of here.
No mainstream dude is actually.
Well, the farthest somebody went was Tasha.
Tasha, right? Tasha, IA. He did tracks like Keep the Sneak and stuff like that. You know,
yeah,
on
that
level, that crust.
That's that tier.
That tier. There's Ford Alive, which, remember those guys?
Yeah.
Mushmouth and One, I think it was.
They broke
and
free.
And they did tracks with Illmind.
Right.
And Illmind does with Jay-Z. And,
right, that
was
as
you know,
far
that,
as it went.
That's more like the Fat Beats era. You know,
that was the early 2000s,
like Marco Polo,
late 90s. Yeah, there were thousands of groups back then.
Duck Down kind
of.
So
I
asked him, why hasn't nobody cracked it, you know? He said, well, I guess we're still polishing the sound or whatever.
Well, music
it's a hard question to ask.
Well, I mean, you got to look at the fact that music in general is weird. Because what is hip-hop anyway?
It's weird. It is weird.
The millennials are all into K-pop, right? You think they know what's going on?
And what's crazy with Coins is he's one of the younger, older dudes, actually.
Because
in like his ninth grade, he used to mail order stuff from me. Shirts and music.
Okay.
Ninth grade. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and then he actually told a story of how his senior year he cut class from Castle to go to a bamboo in-store or a speaker, whatever.
Well, I remember you saying this.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, that's a hip-hop head. That's what I would do.
You don't see that now.
That's what you would do, right?
Yeah.
Just for records.
We catch the bus to Wahiwa.
Yeah, to buy records, right? You'd be like, dude, the new records drop. Then you cut class, you steal money, whatever it took to get the hip-hop. Well,
but
I don't pay.
But I would cut class.
Right?
I will say that for the record.
I mean, we did
go to Tower Records
for hip hop,
right?
So I asked him why. You know, I mean, well, he just said that. Then he said, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, this place would be packed, and there'd be people ciphering outside. And I was like, you're right.
And that crowd got older.
Yeah,
that's what happened. People got older,
and the younger crowd it
didn't catch on.
That's a rough one. I mean, it's really what's happened.
I mean, you look at the millennials. We have a millennial who comes on as a regular on our show, okay? Now, I'm not saying she's the governor of the millennials.
She's the governess of millennials. She's like the baroness from
G.I. Joe. We're on the same mind of some sort. That's two words we've already... But there, she clearly said, we asked her, because you were saying that MF Doom, as an example, is the millennials Tribe Called Quest. She had no idea who this was.
She had no idea who either of them were.
So I'm just
saying, like Matchbox 20, I think.
I think so. Some hollies that are crying. So she's going to know them, but she's not going to know this genre. This genre is so convoluted.
She knew neither.
Right? And but she did know who Lil Wayne was. Like the mainstream, that echelon, right? But she's not going to know that kind of I don't even want to say underground anymore, but that kind of thing.
Undergarment?
Possibly. Sport bra?
She's in Japan right now.
She is in Japan wearing a nice sleeper shirt.
Shout out.
Which she bought.
Yes.
So this segues now. You had this in store. Let's go into something of a lighter nature.
Okay.
There are 25 people in the store.
Yeah.
Who bought stuff?
Oh, okay.
As I told you, the rule, listeners, as we've said many times, you don't go to a store.
Four people bought stuff.
You buy something. Four people bought something of the 25?
Yeah.
That's not too good.
Well, under 25.
Well,
their age?
No, not the age. Just
Out of 25,
out of the 25 people that are
four
here.
Four people bought something.
Yes, right.
Yes. Thank you very much to those four people.
Okay.
You know, young people ain't got money. I know how it is. That's how good.
What I'm just saying.
At the same time, let's put a disclaimer out there. In no way am I discrediting anybody that's working, that has family, kids, have a anniversary with your girlfriend that night.
Yeah.
You know, but I've done.
Work the door
at place.
We'll get that.
You're old though. I don't expect anybody old to be here. You know what I mean?
But back in the day when we go to stores, okay. Let's go back to us. Okay, when we were younger, we go to places like Funk Pistol.
Yeah.
Places like Jelly's.
Yeah.
Tower Records. Yeah. What have you?
Radio Free Listening, bro.
90% of the time, we're coming out with something.
Yeah.
We're buying a record, something used, something new, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When they had shirts. Right. So that's what I'm saying. We always looked at magazines.
Yeah.
We buy tons of magazines. Rap Sheet, Flavor, Source. So why is that never really the thing when people... Right. That's what I'm just saying. That's the...
Well,
the
you know, I look at it as this, right? You come in here, hopefully you feel the love that I emanate. And when you do have money, or when you do decide to buy something, you come back. That's kind of how I
hope so.
And you know, actually, it does work because... Okay. Some people I know like never buy a dang thing.
Mm.
And I don't expect anybody to buy anything. But then they'll come one day and boom, like five shirts.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't keep a running tally or anything.
Right.
I'm happy that people like you are checking everybody for me, you know.
I just think if you're gonna go to the store, like I don't have time, I work. So when I see John from Truist, for example.
Right.
I don't have time to go buy shoes, so I'm not gonna go in the store. I'm not gonna go in there, shake his hand, yeah, what's up, bro? And go sit there.
No, but you gotta come with the light sleeper, shake my hand, and say what's up, though.
But I wave and I say what's up, and then you know, Mono. I'm not gonna be buying anything from Mono today, or maybe another week. But I'm gonna go say what's up to the people. I'm not gonna walk in there and like sit around and stare at
him. Oh, you mean like
you know what I'm saying? Like
you're welcome or something.
The guy that's just gonna sit there and he's just staring at you, and you stare back, and then you play him a beat, and then what do you do? And then he's gonna go. I mean. I'm just saying.
Anyway, thank you to everybody coming out. It was great. Shout out to Rod. Shout out to everybody that supported and helped out. I don't know who's the next one Power in the Session is. I'm just the venue, the where it plays. So respect. Hawaii Hip Hop, I love you. I'm just posing these awesome questions.
Yes.
Because I'm the old dude and I care. So, well, it sucks being the old guy now. It sucks.
Good.
I never thought it would come to that.
Age doesn't lose. Time waits for no man, as a guy named Rasko.
Hey, very good, yeah.
And
it's the unassisted.
We can't, that's right.
Well, we could be the assisted.
We don't want to run the line.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hey.
Hey.
But I'm just...
Don't throw stones.
No. I need some peanut butter.
Forget
it.
Anyway.
But yes, we are the old people.
Okay.
This is old foot music now.
Yeah. Let me just wrap up my 15 so you get it to yours. Last thing, I recorded the Hokus.
Yeah.
And I watched it.
Okay.
Local program. You know me and local programming. Right?
Oh.
You know?
We love local programming.
Right. Local programming is the best.
Yes.
Because it's...
It's bad.
Train wreck.
It's a train wreck. Badly directed, badly produced.
I just got to say something. They didn't even announce the hip-hop the hip hop category on the show.
What, during commercial break?
Like, they did, yeah. They
as
did
they go to commercial break.
They did like, a, hey, yeah, they did a mention. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. I'm like, what? No. But they did do The Rock, which was hilarious.
Okay.
The Rock guys. So then The Rock guys got to get announced.
It's all Hollies, man.
No, the there's people like that won rockers. Is from Wine Eye. And
really?
It's like a rainbow of flavors. The Howley guy, Loco Brada,
really?
Had the Hapa guy, had the Filipino guy. They're from Waianae. And then the one guy, the one stoniest guy was like,
of course.
Oh, I like to say shout out to my auntie, wait, my Uncle Paca and my Auntie Lolo.
Auntie Lolo.
And it's
that
funny,
laughing,
I was laughing instantly.
I think
and
the
I was
crowd
like,
is laughing too.
How's this guy? So you could tell the crowd was like, and then they hear the chuckles. But you know all those Hawaiians smoke weed, so I don't know why they're acting for it.
True. I mean, what I would think it'd just be like you just go up there and you just make fun.
No, but there was actually they seem really like genuine, like they won. Like
okay.
Almost like teary almost. Like, oh yeah,
right.
You can't believe we won.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't believe you won either.
Wow.
But it was dope because when they played the music, it was like rah, rah, and it's like
really?
Oh, you know, you just come from hearing Kawai Punahele, and you hear like, rawr!
Wait a minute, are you serious? They're playing like that. So
yes.
They cut to Henry Capone. He's like,
like Southern Nolan, don't know what to do. Dude, Southern Nolan probably is dead.
Melvin Lee,
yeah.
Piss off.
Melvin Lee, all mad. She get the Paniolo cowboy whip.
Honolulu Skylark.
But
lost.
Skylark, man, she was there.
Wow.
She's not doing too good. She had like a cane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
So there's no like Holly rockers that like represent the whole
like,
place?
What do you mean?
Like
four
like,
Hollies?
Like
rock.
The Kailua Boys or something. There's no like.
Nah,
know,
they're not playing music over there.
Like
right?
The Rutherfords.
You know what's crazy is a lot of punk rock, heavy metal, thrash bands. You know where they come from? West Side, brah. Choke from Waipahu. Choke from Waianae. Since I skated, a lot of these guys, these punk rock, metal dudes are all West Side guys.
Really?
Yeah, you think town, right? Or Kailua.
Yeah.
Kailua is more like, you know, whiny.
Emo. Yeah, like
whiny, like
crying about the problems.
When I cry,
yeah.
I go
Dawson's Creek.
To beat you all, Lani Kai.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably a song. That probably just
hit
a song.
Hit,
right
bro. Hit right there.
That's
anyway,
true, actually.
Anyway,
yeah.
Watch the Hokus. It was interesting. The I wish they did more for whatchamacallit, the Kyle Curtis boy that passed away. I wish they did more for him.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think he was a. There's a lot of people that passed away this year, but the Kyle Creator Boys was like such a generational shift in Hawaiian music.
Yeah. Everything changed
when Kyle Creator Boys got on the scene.
Yeah.
And they had the brother and the niece, I think, go up there and sing, which is cool, but I thought they should have did a little bit more. Maybe it's because that's my error, but I felt like they should have did more for it.
Mm.
But the C&K tribute was freaking awesome. I would watch it again.
Okay.
It was dope because you had Capone up there with the younger dudes. And, you know, they play like a medley, like a 15-minute medley of like 20-something. I don't know. All,
that's worse.
All the hits,
yeah,
bro.
You got it. Because
so,
it's C&K.
That's good. I mean, yeah. Of course, you had Billy V. I mean, one day
yeah, Billy
if I ever,
you're
if I ever get a hoku, okay, or get nominated, bro, you got to come, bro. You got to pay $150, though.
$150. To go up there and
no, just to
attack
be there.
Billy V? Okay.
Like, you get nominated, but you got to pay to be there.
Really?
Yes.
Wait.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later
in
the next segment, bro.
You're telling me.
I'm telling you. All right,
we'll
talk about it later, bro. Let's do
that stuff to discuss.
Do your recap. And then we'll get the homie on and he'll break it down.
There's more information than meets the eye.
Yeah, this is it's thick, bro. It's thick. All right. All right. That's my weekend.
Okay. Well, that's going to go right to Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Tell me what you did
Friday. As you were in this very establishment that you call One Sleepers, you were having this show.
Right.
From 6 to 8.
Yes.
I, as per what I said last week, I was across the street from you.
Okay.
At this place that I've never been before.
Never,
Pine and Jigger.
Pine and Jigger, yep. There you
and
go.
I stated last week on the show
that
I was going to do something I've never done before, and that is work the door.
You work the door.
Now, let me just clarify, okay?
You any guns there?
I don't need... I just did it. I've never done it before. I worked the door. I was a door host bouncer guy.
Okay.
And they were shorthanded.
Yeah, you were all three of those. I noticed you were the
ID
checker.
I had to do the hosting.
Yeah,
so I had to go find the tables for everybody, get the waiting list, get everybody table for
right,
four
right. I seen that.
And then I do that. So then I had to do that, watch the drunks.
Yeah.
You know, regulate that. A lot of people vaping.
Well, so the Spell's homies that owned Vape Kings across the street.
Correct.
They must have had a lot of business there.
Back and forth. People going back and forth.
You know, beer. smoking?
I guess so, but Friday night, packed. I get there 8 o'clock.
Okay.
As your show was, I guess, ending. I start at 8 o'clock, go in there, and it's an interesting dilemma because, you know, I've never been there that late, first of all. I'm old,
right.
Stated as we were older
right.
people. And I was sober.
Oh, that's right. You didn't.
I did not drink at all.
So you can't really drink.
And I didn't want to. Here's a rule, everyone. If you're working, don't drink. I would think that's common sense. Okay, everyone, sorry.
I don't know.
Some people may be out of turn. But I'm just saying, I was there.
Okay.
When you see people acting, it's interesting.
So did you approach these people?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say?
Did
you moke out or did you, like, stay howling?
Okay, this is the thing with the crowd on Friday night. It's packed.
Right.
A lot of military.
Which military?
Means a lot of howling.
Wait, how did the military get there?
I don't know. A lot of military IDs. Have you ever seen a military ID? It's very odd.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Like, it was weird at first. Wow, I had to figure out where the data card was. If it said 666, if it said, I don't know.
Bro, get the chip in there.
Independence Day, Bill Pullman was that? Forget it. Just follow. So we got a lot of military IDs. So I'm trying to figure this out. I had this one guy, he didn't have a Hawaii's driver's license.
Right.
But he had like two different forms of picture ID, and none of it had his date of birth. So I was like, yo, man, I don't know how old you are. You have a driver's license? Said, yeah. Where is it? Manoa? Can you go back to Manoa, come back? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, man. So I sent a guy back.
But how do you have two licenses but no birthday on it?
I don't know, bruh. He was Holly.
What the?
I don't know.
But Hollyville, they don't put the date.
He was like, sorry, man. He was like on a table of five, so he didn't want to, he was going to come back. So I just told him, I just sent him back. So that was the brunt of my excitement.
Well, can he still go in there but not drink?
What are you going to do in, bruh? It's a bar.
Coca-Cola, some pop.
Iced tea. Shirley Temple.
Water.
No. So I just told him, can you go back? He did, he went back. 10 minutes later, he came back.
He's like, bruh, he felt your mana, bruh. Okay, he's like, whoa, how's this hot guy? Getting nuts with me,
this
bruh.
Guy? So, I actually, it was a mellow day. I wish I had some stories to tell you. You visited me?
Yeah.
I wish I had some kind of, like, crazy story to tell you of, like, us throwing somebody out or something.
But you don't want those stories.
No, but it would make for good banter.
It would make for great banter.
It didn't happen. So, there was one drunk guy we had to escort out.
Right.
But he didn't do anything. He didn't cause trouble. He just was, he couldn't make a sentence. And
right, you got to go ask Big Dave for some tips next time.
Where is Big Dave right now?
He's Mai Tais. Downtown. Well, no, I don't think he works Mai Tais. All right, Iga, all over the place.
He like runs Manifest.
He runs it
security.
All, bro. Big Dave, bro.
Right.
The coolest, biggest Samoan guy. I love him.
He is, yes.
Him and Walter. Rest in peace,
bro. The softest hands, bro. The softest hands. Big Dave, he grab you, that's it.
That grab you, right? And smoosh you.
Yep, that's it. So there weren't any smooshing Friday night. But,
no smooshing. Good job. Good job, bro.
It was intriguing. I would do it again.
Did you get paid?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Well, I didn't do it for the money. I mean, it was
I know. But
it was just for the it was fun.
You can chalk it up if you ever have like a a multiple question. Do you know Zach Morris?
That I'm sure will come up.
True or false? He was a bouncer.
Oh, I'd like to see the rest of that quiz.
Right?
But I it was fun. I got half off drinks even though I didn't drink.
Wait,
you get 20% off discount. Which
how does that work though? You can't drink.
After you're done, after you finish, because they close at 1:30.
Right.
Lights go up, and then I just walked home. So I walked home, by the way.
You walked?
I walked home at 1:30 in the morning. Because I was like, should I get an Uber? No, I'm over it. I just want to go. Because I had to work in the morning. So I go, down the town.
How long did it take?
About 20 minutes.
Not bad. Nice walk.
But here's the thing. Here's an observation.
Oh, here we go.
So the homeless people, they're on force. They're all out here. They're on sidewalks and everything. They're now moving from the side of the building to just straight up in the middle of the street.
Wow.
So they're just right in the middle of the sidewalk now. So you're literally got to do broad jumps over these guys.
Wow.
Because they're not on the side, lying on the side.
Wow.
They're right directly lying right in the middle of the sidewalk now.
Bruh.
I saw three guys.
You have to like do hurdles.
Yes.
Like track and field.
It's weird. Yeah, exactly. You got to do that ladder, like
that
agility ladder.
Track and field.
Yes, I remember that game. So that was the only thing that was observation that I saw from that night. So there you go.
All right, bro.
Okay, so then.
What else you got that had going on?
What did you watch? There was something else I watched that I kind of put to the side. There's a thing called Ocean Aid 2017, if you remember.
Okay.
At Waikiki Show.
Yeah.
With.
You recorded it.
I recorded it.
Oh, shucks.
I wanted to see because, once again, it's local programming.
Yes.
So I kind of had a local programming fest yesterday. I watched that first, and I wanted to see Maxi Priest.
What do you think?
Horrible.
Bruh.
What in the world is he doing?
Too much the kind, cause like that, brada,
gone.
And like that, brada.
He was gone. And he brought these two girls up to dance?
I'm telling you about this.
What was that, bro?
Ebony and ivory, bro.
Yes.
Asian and persuasion.
They're not living in harmony, bro.
Where did they come from, right?
They were all on Batu. Everybody was on Batu.
Bro, it's like they came out of an 80s movie, like literally popped out.
Their outfits, too, were from like the 80s.
They were?
That's like, they literally, they caught up McFly and they said, get the beam them down, bro. Because they were, where did they come from?
Maxi Priest froze them.
They're wearing like leotard spandex.
They were wearing like 80s, like
going
Kim Cattrall,
yeah. They were summoned by Kim Cattrall to be there. Ocean 8 2017, we got these girls from the 80s. So I don't understand what that was about.
But his voice is,
it was horrible.
Is super late.
Maxi Priest, Close to You, sounded horrible.
Yeah.
Because we were all waiting for that one hit he does.
Yep.
And it finally came out horrible.
I was never a fan.
So then,
sorry,
right, yeah, no, well, right. I mean, it was just like that cheesy pop song back in the 80s. Then I turned it off, and then I watched another great local programming show that you know of a little bit, Living Hawaii.
Oh, bro.
Now, we've talked about It's Academic Hawaii before. We've talked about Hot Hawaiian Nights.
Oh, I love Hot Hawaiian
Nights. We've talked about Overdrive Live.
Okay, yeah.
But
love
there
it.
Is Living Hawaii, another show that is sweeping Hawaii.
What is it about?
It is about this pretty cute girl
who
goes to different clothing boutiques, talks and hams it up with the owner, models the clothes, then she gets a bunch of her model friends to go and try on the clothes. Some of them look kind of like they're on drugs. Some of them don't. Some of them look like they're throwing up like daily. Some of them don't. But she gets an eclectic mix. Like she'll get one token, like she get African-American one, she get one Samoan one, then she get the Holly that looks like she throw up all the time. And then she get the one Asian girl who kind of like her, but not to upstage her. And then they all over there. And then they try on the clothes.
Grade,
and then they go eat.
One grade down.
They go, one
can't
grade
be
down.
Hotter than the host.
Can't be hotter than the host. But then she was the one that you text me a video of her saying she was eating food. And then she was like, oh, you know, this is so good. I got to say, brah, that was the girl. You text me this.
Wait, what do you mean?
The girl, the host of
the
show.
The brah.
Yeah, she said
brah. That was so awkward.
Right. So
hey,
that was the host.
She's a titter, bro.
So I think she might be able to be a good guest on the show. She might be able to
We should contact her.
I think
she might
out.
Be a former Miss Hawaii.
I think so. Miss Kona Coffee or something
Miss
like that.
Kona.
But then they go to... so then they get the models. They try on the clothes.
Right.
Some of the clothes look sometimes god-awful. Some
and
of it looks all right. And then they go eat. They go eat at some place around where that boutique is.
Is that like good? Do models do that?
Models don't eat.
Try clothes that eat?
So that's why it's comical because you see these models.
Oh, but you know, that's Hawaii though. There you go.
But some of them look like they haven't eaten in months.
They throw up after the
throw up after filming. Finger in the mouth, no get gout. Yeah, exactly.
Finger in the mouth, no get gout. You know, you get a lot of things. Stomach acid.
But I implore everyone, okay? Local people.
Oh, we are just promoting
like bad shows.
People can say anything they want, but we are promoting local programming 100.
Yes. This is a local 10%. Show. Right. Hawaii comes first.
Hawaii is always first.
Hawaii first.
Hawaii. So we have Living Hawaii.
Living Hawaii, yes. Not Living Local. Not the Filipino one.
It's Academic.
It's Academic Hawaii.
We got Overdrive Live.
Yep.
We got
Hot Hawaiian Nights.
Hot Hawaiian Nights.
Hot Hawaiian Weddings.
Hot Hawaiian... Oh,
which is bad because it's a bunch of Hollies from the mainland trying to get married in Hawaii.
Oh.
And then they do all this like Hawaiian, Native Hawaiian stuff that just makes it look really awkward.
Yeah.
Blow the conch shell and...
I thought the Japanese get married here more.
No, they got those two, but then they only focus on the holidays because it's more funny.
It's more funny.
It's more comic. You know, to see the guy, you know, to see Trevor from, you know, Austin, Texas.
Didn't give us any It's Academic update in a while.
Oh, they haven't posted a new episode yet because the first round is still going. Second round's coming up.
Who's winning? Public school, private school?
Right now, I've been seeing mostly private school win.
Oh, bro, the comeback, bro. The comeback.
But Iolani knocked out first round again.
Bro.
Iolani's gone.
Bruh, all the calculators broke.
Yep.
Everybody crying to Iolani. I think they canceled the carnival because of that.
When is that carnival?
I don't. They canceled it.
Okay.
Because then they lost
it
to Academic.
Just set you up.
Who did they lose to? Kaimaki.
They lost to Kaimaki.
Bruh, if Iolani loses to Kaimaki in an Academic challenge.
Skinned
up. Bruh, I think they're going to commit suicide, bruh. How do you keep
it? Might as well, right?
All the parents, bruh, the generations of Iolani students going to be
all done.
Crazy, bruh.
But then all the neighbor island schools all got knocked out. Waste time.
That makes sense.
Well, King Ke Kalike.
Smart.
I posted a clip of that.
Okay,
no, they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not smart.
What is the other one? The one you posted with that guy? He said something?
Oh, he says he like jail.
Yeah, like jail.
Yeah, I like jail. For anyone that cares.
Is that Milani or is that?
No, that was neighbor island, I think, too.
Oh.
But that was a private school neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
His favorite thing is jail. So
wow, hey, welcome.
Millennials.
Hey, tip in jail.
Go figure. But yeah, so that new episode should be coming. Okay. But yeah, we're local programming. That sums it up, doesn't it?
That was awesome.
Local. Buy local.
Anything else you happened this week?
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
In this abridged version.
Oh, wow. We actually finished.
Hey, we made it on time, everyone.
Sleep time's over. Cav at the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morse. We got a special guest coming up in the next segment. Don't forget to check us out on all social media. Sleep time's over everything, except for Twitter, Sleep Time's Over One.
YouTube channel. The whole episode's
on there. And we have our 1 year anniversary coming up.
Yes, okay.
And the video is off. So make it web exclusive. Go.
Web exclusive?
Podcast
exclusive. Yeah. Saturday night, June 24th.
Yes.
At the place called, we've never been there, Pint and Jigger.
Yes.
We're going to be there. We're going to tape the show live.
Yes.
We want everybody to be there.
Everybody.
Studio audience, live.
Kendrick,
surprises.
Jalilia,
please.
And who else is out there that always listens to us?
Oh, Patricia.
Patricia.
Do you know who that is, Trish?
I think I know all of
them. She's a big fan of the show. She comments a lot.
Everybody that watches and listens, we need you at Pint and Jigger.
Size one. Spell one. Anybody would want to know your name.
The K2H DJ to the stars.
Yes, that guy.
Real estate agent to the stars.
Get them all. Leanne Wong.
Everybody.
Sky Cameron.
Everybody come out to Pint and Jigger. 6 to 9-ish, 8-ish, 9-ish.
Yeah.
We're recording live.
For the live show. We're going to be there. We're going to do it live. We're going to have the studio audience. We're going to have surprises.
Right, yeah.
Surprise guests, hopefully.
Surprise quizzes. Hopefully we get surprise guests.
All right.
Yeah.
Call him up.
Get Jamal maybe finally.
Jamal might be there.
Yeah, maybe Jamal will come on. I don't know.
Should we have somebody like perform? No, that's not.
Nah, we'll figure that out later.
Just have somebody just come out and yell. Just somebody yell.
We'll just get choke guests come in and out.
Well,
bam,
yeah,
bam,
gonna be.
Bam, like pull people.
Yeah. We have Jarrah is going to be there. Our very first guest.
Yeah, Jarrah. What about the Lord? Is he going to be able to make it?
The Lord's going to be there.
Okay, Lord can make it. Who else we missing out there? How about the Boomerang girl? Is she going to make it?
I think so. We're going to get
confirmation. Just for a quick like interview.
Because she's leaving the island.
Oh, we gotta have
forever. Her. She's never gonna come back here again.
Okay,
that's
there
it.
You go. So she gotta.
So
we got the boomerang.
We gotta bring her back.
We're gonna do
a huge boomerang, the biggest boomerang of all time. Yeah. So that's
We'll give her. We should buy her a boomerang.
Just give her an actual boomerang.
Yeah. Tell us to throw it.
Speaking of things, I forgot to bring that little spinning thing. What's the name of that thing? The kids are playing.
Oh, the fidget spinner.
Yeah.
You got one?
I got one as a joke. I was gonna bring it on. It was gonna.
It's fun. It's actually relaxing. Sleep time's over. Cap at the Catalyst. DJ Zach Morris, Season 4, Episode 8, 808, the stars are out.
Sleep time's over. We'll be right back. Sleep time's over is back.
Sleep time's over. Cav at the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris. And now we have a special guest in the second segment. Special truncated season 4, episode 808. Stars have aligned.
We're going to run with that.
I mean, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
808 is fine.
808,
it's
8.
It's a special edition.
Episode 808.
It's because right? Schedules are all jammed.
Rest in peace, James Bond.
That's right.
James Bond, 808.
Roger
Moore. Yeah.
Wow.
007, 008. Somehow it's started.
Favorite James Bond?
You know what? I don't think I've seen a full James Bond movie straight through.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
None of the Sean Connery one.
I've seen like half. You know what I mean? Remington Steele, that dude. See a couple of those
Remington
joints.
Steel, yes.
Whatever his name is.
Roger Moore is a classic.
Roger Moore is
a classic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if I've seen. I know the. Look at the names.
Pierce Brosnan.
There you go.
Daniel Craig.
I think I've seen the whole Daniel Craig one.
Yeah, that was like the most serious of all of them.
Right.
Like they got serious. For
plus, they got all the effects and stuff.
Roger Moore, I gotta say, was the one that.
Is he the best?
I don't know. I wouldn't say the best. I didn't see them all either. But like you said, he had the distinguishable look.
Yeah.
Like when you see that guy walking in, you know. You say, hey, that guy looks kind of like James Bond. Hey, you are James Bond.
That guy get cheeks, bro. Anyway, moving along. We got a special guest from the group Super Groupers. Originally from New York.
Grew up in New York.
Navid. No, I'm screwing up.
Najafi.
Navid Najafi. Ildomatic.
Fuck him.
Sorry about that. Super Groupers here. Just so happens.
Yes.
He's in the area?
Yeah.
Just so happens.
You know what? I was talking about the whole cruise.
Yes.
And I was, and I see, we seen him outside. We're like, dude, can you come and chop it up for a minute?
Exactly. Yeah. Excellent segue. Yeah. You just never know.
So then, boom, because he was there at the hole.
Well, I lurk because this is, I mean, first of all, this is a great honor for me to be on this special podcast. You guys have had some heavy hitters, some big guys on here.
Yes, blessed, blessed.
Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah, he was here, man.
Razor Ramon
was here.
So every once in a while, I lurk outside just hoping, wondering maybe I could run into, you know.
And just so happens.
Well, these guys, so.
The time is now. The time is
one of these days. I've been lurking for 6 weeks straight.
Oh, wow.
Finally, school, right?
Dedication and determination.
You see your opening, right? You're like, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
The window's open, you jump right through.
Yeah. But anyway, tell us how long you've been rhyming, how'd you, you know, hip hop, your history on your roots of hip hop.
Well, originally, I'm from Iran.
Okay.
I was born in Tehran, right. Iran. But I grew up in New York. I moved to New York when I was 8. And lived mostly upstate New York, right outside of the city,
okay.
In a small town called Poughkeepsie, New York. Shout out Po-Town. You know where you at?
That sounds so familiar. Is that in a movie somewhere?
Well,
no, you know what? Actually, it's been referenced a few times.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys
And it's where the WWF used to tape their shows when they were small time.
No way.
Poughkeepsie, New York was the town.
Was it the Hudson Valley Civic Center?
What?
There you go. Bruh, see how this works?
Hudson Valley Civic Center.
Yeah. You see how this works?
Poughkeepsie, New
York.
All
the old WWF was taped in Poughkeepsie.
Wow.
That's how
it's
I remember
meant to be there.
As a kid.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Q-Tip said Poughkeepsie, I think he said it twice in the Tribe Called Quest discography.
Wow. I gotta look for that.
Yeah, through some references to Poughkeepsie. It's been in some movies.
Did he say, what was the reference like referring to?
I'm trying to think of it now.
Something that rhymed with Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, it was like he was shouting out different regions and he threw in
Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
It was like, I think it was Midnight Marauders, maybe.
I don't know.
It's not coming to me now, but.
Maybe it's one of those rhymes that you know you don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah,
because you're like,
exactly.
Oh, snap! Or like, what does it say?
Yeah.
Well, I remember Poughkeepsie as a kid because that's where they would always be at. The
right.
WWF at the time before WWE would film a lot of their tape shows at Poughkeepsie.
Because at the end of it, they'd say, oh, we're coming to.
Live from Poughkeepsie, yes. Poughkeepsie.
They
always would mention Poughkeepsie, New York. Poughkeepsie, New York. And that was odd to me because we only know New York City.
Right.
Here's Poughkeepsie.
So you grew up in Poughkeepsie?
It's come around. Now you realize that there's, you know, a place and people are from it.
Right. There you go. See how that works? There's actual people there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real.
Yes.
So, yeah, I lived in Poughkeepsie. I lived closer to the city a little bit too, like New Rochelle area.
Nice, there you go. Heard of that.
But I left right before my senior year of high school, moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Lived there for about a year. Ooh. And after I graduated school, well, it's funny because I pretty much graduated high school my junior year as far as New York equivalency to Atlanta, to Georgia.
Okay.
Because when I went to Georgia, they're like, you're pretty much a graduated,
right.
As far as our requirements.
Wow.
But then I ended up coming out to Hawaii on vacation, went to the Big Island, and I was supposed to stay 2 weeks, stayed the whole summer.
Wow.
4 months.
Wow.
Met some homies out there, homies I'm still friends with now.
Okay.
Actually, the original Kamehameha Project.
Wow.
Guys.
Oh, so you're down with Kamehameha Project.
Yeah,
crazy.
Those guys. Met those guys. That was 98.
Yeah, what are those guys doing now?
Well, Kapu is in Maui.
Okay.
Rin is out here. They just actually played a show in Maui. Nohokai and IMI, the two other guys, they're out in the Bay Area.
Wow.
They still do music. Nohokai produces beats. He comes out here once in a while.
Right.
Actually, him and Pure Powers was one of the guys that was down with that crew. He was one of the younger kids.
Wait, Pure Powers was down with Kamehameha Project?
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
on Maui, yeah. So he kind of grew up there.
Okay.
But he was the younger cat in the crew. And now he's doing really good. He's touring everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
He
everywhere.
Brought out a couple of guys out here, so... Yeah, I met those guys originally, 97, 98, through skateboarding, actually.
Oh, that's crazy.
My first day in Hawaii.
There you go.
I grabbed my skateboard, skated down the street, along the beach, saw a ramp in this kid's front yard.
Right.
They're all skating, and Pakalolo, learned about that, you know what I'm saying? So
there you have it.
And that was, that was the beginning for me.
Well, that's
crazy.
But
I ended up moving to Oahu around 2001.
Okay.
To go to UH. So lived here 2001 till about 2004. Then I had some family stuff. I had to go back to the mainland, was gone for a couple of years, and then came back out probably around 2008 or so. But I was I didn't come out as far as... So when I first moved here, 2001, I remember your show, and I remember all the hip-hop stuff. Actually, one of the first events I ever went to, I was flying from the Big Island back to the mainland, stopped in Oahu a few days, and it was the 1999 ITF.
Wow, that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Championships. Yeah.
That's huge. That's huge for Hawaii.
We were there.
So bro.
I went to every event. I met pretty much a lot of the local guys. The first dude I met was Jamal, of course.
There's a shocker.
So, yeah, and then he introduced me to a lot of cats, you know. So that was cool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I actually wrote an article about that for a magazine in back in the East Coast, Elemental.
Yeah,
I got a couple issues right there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I just wrote a little article about, you know, the event here and traveling through and stuff. So
wow.
Yeah, and then I moved back out here a year and a half or so later.
What year was that?
2001.
And then you hooked up. Did you hook up with Scott? And
I didn't hook up with Scott until like 2007, 2008.
Wow.
But 2001, I started playing live music, playing with live bands. We had a band, first the Herbivores. Shout out to the Herbivores.
Nice, nice.
And then Four Elements, we played for a few years. We gigged around town, played at, you know, Pussycat.
Okay.
Lounge.
Yeah.
With microscopic
Nice.
Yes.
So you were always in the mix. We just never...
See, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all there.
We're all there, but things happen for a reason, and here we are now.
So do you get kind of, like, irritated when people don't think that you're actually from here?
No, because
technically,
I've been here a long time, because I'm just old now. I've been
here a long time. You've been through historic times.
No, I don't get it.
Like, ITF-99 is huge.
Honestly,
for
a
yeah.
Middle Eastern kid growing up in the States, like,
right.
I can't get irritated by much. So I gave where you're from, who you are, all that shit.
Yeah.
You know. Do you guys swear?
No, you can. Okay, if it comes out, you're okay.
Anyway.
It's fine because in Hawaii, you got guys coming from all over the place anyway, right? A lot of it is whether or not you're hip-hop enough or not.
Yeah, that's,
That's always that thing that's annoying.
Right.
And were you there or were you not there?
Yeah.
How much do
you
know?
What it is, too. I mean, you were mentioning earlier about how 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, there would have been... Store would have been packed, Cypher outside.
Yeah.
That was like 2008, 2009, 2010.
Right.
That was like a peak for Hawaii hip hop. There was a lot going on, Bone of the Tropics, all that.
I was
here for that, but I was not an active participant. I didn't go to any shows. I didn't play any shows.
Right.
Because I was working on a solo album at the time. And I didn't want to even rap on the mic without having something, CD.
Right.
Because I've been doing it for so long.
Right.
I'd done all this stuff with these bands
and
tried to record.
Right.
And I never had an album. It's like I was in it for 10 years already and I never had an album.
Right.
You know, so I was just focused on that. And then once I finished that, it took years. It was a long process, different studios. But when I finished that, that was 2011. And I submitted that for the Hokus because that was the year that... Hawaii or hip hop and R&B were separated.
So it's 2011.
2011, but it's called 2012.
Okay.
Because they do like, you know, I released the album in 2011.
So there's R&B now and there's hip hop.
Yeah. So I submitted the album then, and then that's when a lot of people heard about me because they looked me up then.
Yeah.
But I'd kind of been out of the scene like 3, 4 years.
Right.
So that's why maybe a lot of people didn't know me. A lot of the older heads remembered, but the younger kids and stuff, but you know. After that, I started playing more gigs and going out.
So question on regarding you submitting to the Hokus here, Ed. What possessed you to, as your strategy of submitting to the Hokus when it's kind of looked at in, I guess, the hip-hop community, do we care?
Yeah.
Right?
It's more of a Hawaiian award.
Why was that your angle to get your name out there?
Well, I was on the same boat as far as, like, who cares? And still, I mean, I'm not convinced it's really that important of a thing. I mean, I can't think of anything else in music here that's so important locally but really doesn't mean anything outside of Hawaii.
Like
when you tell people outside of Hawaii, you're gonna be like, oh, it's like a Hawaii music award,
right?
And they're like, okay. I don't know if other states have music awards.
I know, I mean, other ethnicities do,
right
yeah.
but not states.
And that's the thing with the Hoka. I mean, I'll get back to your question, but this event and this award is for Hawaiian music.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they're including these other genres, it's like, okay, we're trying to get more involvement from the community.
Right.
People did complain. A lot of people complained for years to get different genres, add more categories, and be more inclusive. But really, at the end of the day, this is for Hawaiian music. The award really is much more meaningful. And actually, as an award, it means more because there's way more participants in the Hawaiian music category, in the major categories.
Yep.
But anyway, the reason why I decided to do it in 2011, 2012 is because the year before, the Angry Locals had gone and they recorded their Hoku experience. It was on YouTube, and you know, I'd always followed them and followed everything else that was going on. And they made kind of a big deal out of how disappointed they were that hip-hop was being disrespected and wasn't being recognized. It was being lumped together with R&B.
Yeah.
And every winner from 2008 until it was separated was either R&B singer or some random singer.
Right.
Hip-hop guys never won. So they kind of made a big deal about it, and Chris Styles put out that song, Dear Hara. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
yep.
But it was like one of the dopest songs I'd heard at the time, and it was such a hip-hop way of dealing with a problem, responding to something.
Right.
I'm going to put out, I want to do it in art, in a creative way, put out this track. And that ruffled a lot of like feathers at the time. But I remember being inspired by that, and then that, I'm assuming that's what led them to separate the categories. Mm. They realized, hey, there is a hip-hop scene. So that year, they announced that we're going to have this separate category for hip-hop. And
there
so I was like,
so the
protests
actually yielded
that
results.
Actually worked.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Which
and,
is rare
right.
in Hawaii.
Well, I don't know. Like now they say, as far as the official thing, I think is something along the lines of, we recognize that there was this growing, emerging genre. And so, it's been growing, emerging for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, you can't blame
people
these guys
go,
too either, right?
People, well, yeah, but people, some people, you have to go.
Yeah.
And you have to tell them what you want.
Yeah.
You have to. That's the only way you're going to make change. So those guys did. And, you know, unfortunately, I think, I don't want to speak for Chris, but I feel like that experience kind of tainted his perception of it.
Right.
Even though he was instrumental in changing
it,
I feel like it was something that he just never wanted to fuck with. He was like, done with it, you know?
Mm.
But because it was separated, I felt like, yeah, it's a hip-hop category. I'm going to submit. But what happened that year, there was only 4 submissions.
Right.
Okay.
You remember the submissions?
Yeah, I remember the submissions. So the way that it works and the way that these categories work, when you have a new category, I think you have to have a minimum of 4 or 5 submissions to create this new category.
Okay.
But there was so much pressure to get hip-hop in its own category. There was only 4, but they created it anyway. But then once a category is created, I think you need a minimum of 3 submissions.
Okay.
To have that category exist.
Right.
So what happens is so let's say I'm submitting for any category, my name goes on a list of submissions, which is the preliminary ballot.
Right.
So this is what's important people need to understand.
Okay.
There's no selection committee.
Okay.
There's no one out there listening to every album that came out and deciding, hey,
and they don't have a people's choice either.
There's a favorite entertainer.
Who votes on that?
It's a online voting thing.
Okay. But those
I voted.
Is that online
there's I think a few categories that are open to the public. Like Entertainer of the Year, I think, is one of them.
Okay, I think I did remember.
But then every other category is voted on by the members, the Hawaii Academy of Recording Artists, which I believe there's 600 to 700 or so members.
Okay.
Right.
So what happens is you submit, your album gets on this preliminary ballot of everyone who submitted.
And so how do you submit it? Do you have to pay to submit it? You have to apply to submit it?
No, you just go on their website. There's a form.
Okay.
You fill out the form.
Hear that, everybody?
And you send it in. It's real easy. You could Google it.
Internet.
And I always post this up every year anyway. you just go on there. There's a form you fill out. And it's real basic. And you don't even have to have physical copies.
Anymore.
Wow. It could be digital.
No. It could be digital only. As long as you own it. It was produced mostly in Hawaii. I don't know what the...
percentage, right?
Whatever the category is. It has to be produced mostly in Hawaii.
Okay.
It has to fit the description of the genre.
Okay.
So when they get submissions, they listen to them like, does this sound like it belongs in this category or this category?
Right.
Okay.
And then they decide. But other than that, they're not judging the quality of it. They just decide what goes where.
Right.
So once that list of preliminary nominee or ballot or whatever, that goes out to all the members.
600 members.
600 or so members. Then they vote for the top 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the top 5 become the actual nominees.
Okay.
The finalists.
So if there's only 3,
those 3 automatically become finalists.
Yeah.
Become
and then
nominees.
The 600 vote.
And then the 600 or so vote out of those 3 who they want as the best or whatever.
Right. And these people who are in the
they're paying
600.
Yeah.
No, it's not a monthly. So
okay.
When I signed up, when I originally submitted my album, I became a member of Hara. Because I wanted to see how the whole process worked.
Yeah.
I wanted to get all the stuff in the mail.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how everything
worked.
So it was $90 for 2 years to become a member.
Oh.
I don't know. I think it's a little bit more, maybe 99 or 100 bucks now. I'm not sure. Don't call me on that.
Right.
I became a member for 2 years. I got all of the stuff sent in the mail as far as the preliminary ballot.
Wow.
And the final ballot. And I was reading it, and it states right at the top, when you get the ballot, it says... please only vote for things that you know about. Wow. As far as categories that you feel like you have the expertise to be able to judge
okay.
what's better than another.
You answered my
or
question.
Or please take the time to listen to the different
okay,
nominees.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please avoid nepotism, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So looking at that, and then I'm thinking about the general membership of HARA, 600, 700, mostly Hawaiian musicians.
Okay.
You're maybe just answering my
75%
question.
Of them may be older.
Right,
exactly.
Right, of course.
So in my mind, doing the math, I would say maybe 75%, 60, 75% of the HARA membership probably leave the hip-hop category blank.
Right.
Exactly.
So what happens
category,
then
whoever else votes on it. So let's say you have, out of 600 people, let's say you have 100 people vote on it. Right? So those 100 people are basically deciding
exactly.
who's the winner.
And the 100 people are spread amongst three groups.
Right?
So you only have 30 could go for one.
30 could go for
20
one.
20
exactly.
for one.
Right, so your chances, I mean, that's the thing. And that's why, honestly, like, you know, being, so I ended up winning in 2012.
Right.
And the other submissions were, I can't remember. Oh, no.
Tasha? Creed?
No. Slap Symphony.
Okay.
With that compilation
that
they put out, which is dope, actually. I thought that was going to win for sure. And then Family Dinner was the other one. That was Joel Spiro's live band.
Okay.
And then Triple Los.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I know Los, Beatroot,
Beatroot
people.
Yeah,
Beatroot,
man.
Yeah. Los is Beatroot.
Yeah. So those were the nominees. They were the preliminary ballet. They became finalist nominees. And then out of those four, my album won.
Right.
So
your solo album?
My solo album, yeah. So it was under Naveed Najafi called Il Nomadic, which is also my kind of MC alias or whatever.
Okay.
And that was, I was shocked. I was super shocked.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, and even then, like, I still had perspective on it. You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I don't want to disparage how big of a deal it is for people in Hawaii, people who grew up in Hawaii, and specifically Hawaiian musicians. Because it is a big deal.
It is.
I mean, anytime, and for me, being someone as an outsider coming in, I've always watched history. I know everything that's happened here.
Right.
Like, Brada is won that award.
Right.
That's a big deal. I mean, for me, like, that was one of the first Hawaiian musicians I ever heard.
Okay.
And always being socially conscious, socially aware, growing up in a dictatorship, I was always aware of politics. So I knew the history of Hawaii. I knew what had happened here. And so listening to Brada is the first time I was like, this is a revolutionary. I mean, this is Hawaii 78. And the stuff that they're, it's powerful, powerful stuff. So that, I'm not taking that lightly at all. That's a big honor to be in that, even in the same breath. That's a big deal. But even then I had perspective on, this is not an actual recognition of what was the best hip hop album that came out in Hawaii.
Mm.
Because it's not voted on by the hip hop
community.
Right.
It's not representing all of the recordings. It's
just who submitted.
Who knew how to submit, who submitted their stuff.
Right.
And that's the only list that's being selected from. So what happened is the next year I was pretty active in trying to recruit people to submit.
Right.
And as far as sending out emails and stuff to people, letting them know, hey, deadline's coming up, sign up.
Build this up.
So the next year there was 10 nominees.
Wow.
Which was good, which is huge.
Right.
And out of the five, finally, IA was a finalist, Audible Lab Rats.
Right.
I don't think Mo'ila Pillars.
Not that
was.
Year.
But I feel, in my opinion, that was the best album that came out. That
Elementals. Yeah, right.
Was dope. That was the best album that came out.
So, man.
But yeah, as far as, and then what happened that year is I actually recorded a live album with guys that I was recording at Soul Sound Studios. We had a group called Evasive
Species. With Punahele on top?
Yeah, so we had Punahele, we had the Broke Mokes, and it was a one-night live recording that we did.
Right.
And I didn't even know when the guy recorded it that he was planning on submitting it to the Hokus.
Oh.
In my mind, I was like, I don't really want to, I'm good with what happened last year.
Right.
And I would rather be like the ambassador trying to
trying to branch it out, trying to get
people to realize that this is a good promotion opportunity.
Yeah.
It's all it is. Awards. People take awards way too seriously one way or the other.
True.
You shouldn't, and especially in hip hop, you don't need that type of recognition to tell you whether you're good or not. Hip hop's never been about that.
Exactly.
It's always been anti that.
Exactly.
Actually. So, but it's a great promotional opportunity.
Exactly.
You get your name in the paper. Everyone looks, hey, who is this? All the hip-hop heads around the island, whether they're against it or for it, or
right.
it pisses them off or not, they at least look. Let me see who these guys are.
So do you
are.
Think it's
that
the due
true.
Diligence
you
of
know,
Hawaii hip-hop not taking the initiative to even submit? Like, is it the Hawaii, never
no,
mind,
I
next
think it's
time?
The hip-hop community
in
general,
general
they're
right?
anti these awards.
Kind of lazy.
Yes
where they
no.
look at it as they're
yes.
anti the award, but it's promotion.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You're
yes
promoting
and no.
yourself.
I mean, I think
right.
a lot of times what the biggest problem with hip-hop in Hawaii, I feel like, is we have too many artists, not enough business people who
mm.
care.
Team,
like,
a team.
What we
yeah.
need is a publicist. More
right,
than
yeah.
And I've talked about
you got any questions?
Oh, no.
Just recording a podcast. Okay, nah, no problem, man. Have a good one.
This guy's, man, running a business.
We are live.
Yeah, you gotta do it, man. You gotta do it, you know?
We are live.
Don't be shame.
This is hip-hop business.
Don't be
right?
shame.
Just
ask questions.
It's
no
okay.
shame.
It's okay.
Just spit your game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but what Hawaii hip-hop needs is we have plenty of artists that are dope.
Right.
You can't expect artists to be supporting other artists.
Right.
No.
Artists
right.
to look out
that
for other
right,
artists.
Right, right, right.
You
very
can't
good,
get
yeah.
mad at artists and say that there's no support because... But 95% of the time, people that come to events are other artists.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more support in Hawaii than... Anywhere
yeah,
else that
that's
I've
right,
been,
that's right,
there really
true.
Is.
Yeah.
But what we need is support on the business end. So that's
yeah.
why maybe
exactly
a lot of
right.
people don't submit because they don't have business people to tell them, hey, this might be a good idea.
You're
right.
Exactly
whether you
right.
think it's a good idea or not, whether it goes against your...
Right, right.
But maybe it's not a... I don't know. Like, things have changed so much. People aren't putting out albums anymore.
Yeah.
People are putting
you
out songs.
It. Yeah.
People putting out videos. Like, how important is this award and being recognized for an album? I don't know. I mean, things are changing.
Yeah. No,
it
you,
could
you,
be a completely antiquated thing at this point.
Right.
You know?
I mean, this is something that we've talked about, Gavin, for many times throughout the decades, actually.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, the business sense is never there with these artists, whether whoever they are, MCs, DJs, whatever. It's always them supporting each other.
Yeah.
Where do we have the random person that's just a fan? It's never a random, just a fan. We don't know where they are because we can't market to them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And this is what I've talked to several artists about. And it's something that we should all consider for sure, is getting
yeah.
together our resources and hiring a publicist. Hiring somebody that
yeah.
can work for us one day a week, 2 days a week. Because me, Super Groupers, we don't need a full-time publicist.
Yeah.
We don't need someone full-time, 8 hours pushing out our
of
stuff. We just need someone maybe a couple hours a week doing it. So if we could, 5-6 artists can come together and hire someone
yep.
to sit at a computer for 8 hours once a week, and we give them all our stuff, and they promote, they pump out, you know, and they have to know, like, which sites to go, where they have to
right,
post.
Right, right.
And that's where you
I don't
share
know
your knowledge to them and be like,
yeah,
this,
I mean, I know
go.
Some,
this is what you do.
I know some.
And you guys
I'm
all build
a,
from that.
Right,
right.
Does Hawaii even have publicists?
That's what we need. We need Hawaii publicists. And I feel like there's kids in school right now that – would be willing to do that and I'd probably be good at that. And they know the internet,
right.
they know marketing.
It would have to be some right, young guy,
no.
young guy into computers,
yeah.
that type of situation. Where has this been mentioned? Have you stated this
just,
to everyone?
Just in conversation
okay.
with fellow MCs and artists. But we've actually, Super Groupers, we're working with a company just recently who's starting up, they're starting a promotional kind of business and
yeah.
they want to work with us to build a website and, you know, get kind of our brand a little bit more. Because, you know, as an artist, you're expected to do everything. As an MC,
right.
underground hip-hop.
Right, yeah, totally.
Hip-hop, you
got to
be the manager, you
yeah.
got to be the publisher.
Exactly.
I'm still doing everything.
That's what we do with the show, you know?
Yeah.
Right, which is good, but then, like,
so
you're never going to be great at all of those.
Right.
You
right.
could be great at one of those.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're never going to be great at all
never.
Of those. And even the most underground of the underground cats that we see touring, coming here, touring
yeah.
the world... They're not doing it by themselves.
Nah,
they
got managers now. They got teams.
They got managers.
Exactly.
Well, that's
got
kind
got
of what I've been saying is like Hawaii
yeah.
needs a team. Like, one thing about Super Groupers that I like, you guys have a dedicated producer.
Yeah.
Right?
Huge.
And that's what I
don't,
see,
don't
see in
that's
today's
huge.
Era right
yeah.
now
not at all.
Is if you look at any of the mainstream dudes, Drake has 40, right?
Yeah.
So it's like one of those ones.
So we need 39 other Scott Atoros.
yeah. We or like.
We gotta clone that motherfucker.
Yeah,
Craigslist.
The MCs just need to like. Stick with a person and grow with them. Like,
yeah, big time.
To create a sound.
Well, that was why... So I met Scott around 2006, 2007. Did some music stuff with him. But he moved back to LA. And then after I won the Hoku and I was getting more gigs around here, just more opportunities, I linked up with Illicit. Actually, before finishing the album, he's on that my solo album. He's on, I think, 6 of the tracks. So meeting him was kind of a...
Is he from Oahu? Is he from...
He's from Oahu.
Oh, right.
I think he was born in California, but came out here as a little kid.
Okay.
Grew up in Kalihi. But yeah, so him and I were playing some gigs, and then Scott came out here for a vacation, and he was staying with me, and I had a gig, and he had his MPC. I was like, yo, bring your MPC. Let's just rock off that, play this gig, instead of me going there with a CD or a thumb drive or whatever. And we did it, and we're like, this is, like, why are we doing this? You know, like, two MCs and a DJ. It's classic.
Right.
So that's why we came up with the whole Super Grouper concept. And that concept, I mean, it sounds like we're calling ourselves a super group, but
right.
It came from a story of the grouper fish.
Right.
A super
okay.
grouper fish.
So, okay, that was so a lead into another question.
Grouper fish.
Okay,
yes,
how did you come up with the name Super Groupers?
Yes,
and that's it. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't remember how it started. I'm sure it was a couple of drinks one night. We were talking about a story.
Oh,
wouldn't it be funny
yeah.
that a grouper decided that he no longer wanted to be a fish and he wanted to be a man. He wanted to walk out of the water. He wanted to move to New York. He wanted to get a job and make a bunch of money and start killing.
There you go.
Right? So he does it. No one's stopping him. He does it. He goes to New York. He puts on a suit. He starts working. And people are looking at him like, something's not right with this dude.
Yep.
But he presents this air of this powerful personality.
Right,
and
right,
no
right.
one calls him out. He ends up becoming super successful.
There you go.
Ends up, you know.
Playing the game.
Owning the city.
Yep.
But then he you know, just like all these stories end up, he discovers one morning, he wakes up, he's like, I don't even know who I am anymore.
Mm.
I have all this fame, I have all this success,
yeah.
but who am I
who
really?
Are you really?
I'm a fish, dude. I'm
yeah.
out here, and I'm a fish, and I'm in a suit. Then he decides, yeah, I want to go back to the water, man. I want to
yeah.
be who I am. But then he realizes at this point that he's forgotten how to swim.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's it.
The
Enough
first,
already.
Already.
Yeah, so that the first... album that we came out with, our first full length album, is called Learn to Swim.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Right there.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah,
I heard
yeah,
like only the truncated version of that.
That was a very small truncated version.
Okay,
yeah.
so
yeah.
with that said, and with the great explanation of the album, of the group, and listening to the albums, and it's a very, of course, it's very conscious minded hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, with the state of music the way it is, it's all whacked and weird. Where does conscious hip-hop fit in this day and age where you have mumble rappers mumbling, you have K-pop on fire? Where do you see, as far as your career goes,
yeah.
with the music that you're portraying right now?
I think there's a place for everything, man. I feel like, honestly, hip-hop and music in general has never been better. You know, and for us, as older guys coming from that boom-bap era, it's real, I feel like it's real important to remember what it was like being a kid. And come up. Like these kids, and if you want to call it mumble rap, whatever, I'm not a fan of it. It's not like I go and buy the records, but I don't hate it.
Right.
I, actually, a lot of, I like the trap beats. Like I like that style. A lot of them sound pretty dope to
right.
me.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of the rapping necessarily.
Right. It's not we're going to hate it,
yeah, yeah.
but we have to give these young guys their rise here because
right.
we can't
but, I mean,
be better
it is
old men.
Kind of honestly, yeah. I mean, it's a job of a young guy to kind of hate what came before you,
right?
And
yeah.
to try to do something new.
Yeah.
So my only criteria when I judge or when I meet an artist or whatever, I just try to see if they're being original, if they're being
yeah.
true to themselves.
Correct.
Okay, that's the
as
key.
Long as they're not, if you're just copying something,
right.
correct.
Then whatever, you're on this journey of self-discovery.
Right, right, right.
Maybe at some point you'll realize who you really are.
Yeah.
But if you're being yourself and that's who you are, that's your experience,
that's it.
And this is the type of music that you grew up with, that you like, and that's what you're
yeah.
doing, I'm fully support. I'll fully support.
So you have to define, because you said something new, right?
Yeah.
So technically to these next generation,
yeah.
new is obviously not better.
But you know what it is too? I was thinking about this because I listened to you guys and I listened to what you were talking about. I don't know if it was a couple weeks ago or
right.
what. But you're talking about, one of the things is like this whole thing with like rompers, right? Like men putting on the
yeah,
romper,
yeah.
right, right?
Oh, man.
Here we go.
No, but think about it. I have this theory that like consciousness seems to skip a generation, right? So think about it.
Okay,
like the
no,
60s.
Yeah.
No doubt, no doubt.
Okay.
I'm going to take it all of it.
No
all
doubt.
The way back to
no,
the 60s.
I see where you're going with this.
Okay.
60s,
okay.
hippies,
I
conscious,
see where you're going with this.
Right.
elevated,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. But then, like, late 60s, early 70s was, like, hardcore, like, whatever, like, all the bikers.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Got more
right.
of the
see, we're
party
going with
scene.
This.
And,
yeah.
But then, like, you had the emphasis and big, like, stadium rock shows and became this whole thing of excess and booze and
then
drugs.
The 80s happened.
Then, like, late 70s, 80s, you had punk, right?
Yeah.
Punk was, like, the emphasis to that. It
yeah,
was, like,
yeah.
the we don't
we
need those
disco.
Big things. Yeah,
we
do our own
rock.
Thing. And to the generation before that, the punk guys were crazy. Like, look at the way they dress.
Right.
Look at the tattoos, yeah. their hair. Yeah. Like, oh my God, these yeah. people are, this is the end of civilization.
Yeah.
But then punk became commercial.
Right.
Mid-80s. But
What's
then
the
you had, thing? Then the next thing was all the hair rock stuff, right?
Yep.
You had
right.
the glam rock,
yep.
hair rock, makeup, spandex.
Yep.
Tell me how that's any worse than rompers.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Dudes in the 70s who were looking at dudes in the
Look
mid-80s
at David Bowie in the
70s. With the hair and the
yeah.
makeup.
They're all wearing
on,
makeup.
Full on makeup, you know?
Like, I mean, like Little Yachty wearing a blouse and carrying a purse.
Right. He's still
David
doing
Bowie
it.
Was doing that 70s.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
So
it
like,
comes around, man. I think
it cycles. And
yeah.
you say it well done. It consciousness comes in cycles. Because
yeah.
you have this. The hippies become yuppies in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They skip out. Disco comes in and just totally. It was like. Backstreet
yeah.
Boys and
right,
Britney Spears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you had something that shut that down,
yeah.
right? So you have these cycles of things.
Yeah.
So mumble rap will have its
that.
Time and it will go
right.
away in
yeah.
a couple of years and it'll be taken over
yeah.
by who knows what.
Who knows what. And the mumble rappers are going to be like, oh my God, this is the end of civilization. Look at what these kids are doing now. You know,
right.
Can there really be something
Imagine.
Worse?
Well, you know what's
that,
crazy?
Yeah.
I always thought about that. Like listening to Wu-Tang, I remember this as a kid, as like a 15-year-old, 1993, 94, whatever, listening to Wu-Tang and being like, man, what are my kids going to listen to that I'm going to be against after
yep.
listening to this?
Yeah.
There's because I remember, like, my parents, their music was so much different than
yeah,
Wu-Tang,
yeah,
exactly.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, I was trying to envision in my head, like, what are my kids going to be listening
yeah.
to that I'm going to tell them to turn it down? And
right,
let's
right,
put
right.
on some old Wu-Tang, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what
right.
it is now. Like, that's actually what's happened now.
But, that, but then, like, I went back to what I said earlier. Like, is new, obviously new is not better, though, you know?
To us, it's not better.
Because lyrically, Wu-Tang... was better
to us.
A lot of 80s stuff.
There's
right.
lyrically stuff coming out
right.
now that's way better than Wu-Tang.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
but just not getting the shot.
Not getting the
like,
shot.
If you look at the if we
no
look
doubt,
at the
no
mainstream
doubt.
Stuff, okay. Back in '93, the mainstream guy was Dr. Dre. The Chronic, everybody had the
yeah.
Chronic.
Right,
that
right.
was the main thing.
Yeah.
Now we fast forward, it's Drake,
right?
right.
Yeah.
And then you have Migos,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So what are the comparisons of Drake and Migos as far as that mainstream?
Well, who's MC Hammer then? MC Hammer was the biggest rapper in the world.
That's
right?
True.
Vanilla Ice. MC
Hammer. MC
Hammer
and Ice.
And how commercial and cartoonish was that?
Right.
Yeah.
And then the rebellion was Dr. Dre and N.W.A.
Right.
They rebelled against MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice. Then from there, the gangster rap era became. And then the Puffy era became because people didn't want to be gangsters anymore. We wanted to dress in, like, nice suits. We wanted to be in shiny clothes. You know, Moet, Cristal.
Yeah.
And then from there, when did it go to... kind of pushed the late 90s, the
yeah.
2000 were like a million groups, Raucous Records,
yeah.
independent.
Yeah, that was the hot thing, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody had a group, everybody
like
had
Styles
a 12-inch.
Styles of Beyond had a little commercial success. All these
yeah,
like underground
yeah.
groups had a little bit of commercial success.
West Coast Stone's Throw was huge.
Yeah.
Beat Junkies were huge.
So the question is, so if the mumble thing is the new, and like you said, that's the woo, I mean, you know what I mean.
Right, right.
Right?
yeah,
like you
yeah,
said,
yeah.
like your parents be like, oh, what are you listening
yeah, yeah,
to?
Yeah,
Wu-Tang,
yeah.
Ma! So I'm telling my kids, what are you listening to? Oh, Little Yachty, Dad. So
yeah.
what's the... Dad.
No, who knows?
Hell.
We are
like
not...
Said.
As far as us, the three of us here, we're not prepared for that.
No.
What's going to be in 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
No, we're just...
I'm curious.
Of course we'll be curious
yeah.
and we'll laugh.
Yeah.
But we'll just have to accept it.
Yeah, but it's good. Honestly,
it.
It's good to always keep an open mind because that's the thing, too, is like you see in the commercialization of music, any new hot trend, young trend... It starts out as something authentic and something original, and then it gets commercialized,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to always support that. Even if 95% of it is going to be garbage as far as we're concerned, it's good to, like, support that innovation
right.
and just have kids. I mean, that's the only thing. And another thing with what you were talking about as far as conscious hip-hop, I mean, what we've done as the supergrouper is we've branched into, like, the educational field
yep.
of hip-hop, and we've started a music education workshop program at the Doris
oh.
Duke Theater at the Museum of Art. Where we do these 10 workshops a year, we bring in high school kids,
yeah.
and we do like a hip-hop based workshop where it's a 3-hour session, we perform for them, we bring guest musicians, so we've had about 10, 15 local MCs that we've been able to have as
nice.
Guest musicians
mm.
come into the theater, perform for the kids, and then talk to the kids about who they are, and then we have a theme for every workshop. And a lot of them revolve around the hip-hop principles of self-awareness, self-power, empowerment,
excellent.
Self-confidence, you know.
Yeah.
And then we get the kids to work together in groups, and then they have to present something on stage for us at the end of the workshop. So
see,
we're,
that's
we're the forced collaboration and forced performance, putting them on the stage, putting them on the spot. And the results have been amazing. I mean, the kids are way more they come through way more than we ever expect, you know. And by doing that, I mean we're interacting with this younger generation as older artists.
Right.
We're bringing other younger artists to interact with these young kids, these students. And these students, yeah, that's exactly what I was getting to, bridging the gap.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing I want to say about it is, as older hip-hop guys, I feel like if we're not happy with the hip-hop scene, if we're upset with Hawaii hip-hop, it's our fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're the ones that's supposed to be bridging the gaps. We can't expect the kids to act the way we expect them to.
Exactly.
Without
they don't know.
A bridge that we've built that they can walk. But what you've done for Hawaii hip-hop is probably more than anyone. I mean, I don't want to say more than anyone, but probably more than anyone as far as building institutions like Beatroot, building institutions like Light Sleepers that become hubs that kids can look to as far as, hey, what's going on in the scene? A young kid, 16 years old, 15 years old, wants to start rapping, starts looking around, what's going on? Light Sleepers is one.
Well, that's what I want. I can't say it if I don't do, right?
Right. And that's
so, I mean, that's the reason why, if you go on my Facebook, I do little things. And only on Facebook, because that's what Facebook's for.
The ranting.
But that's why I say it, because I'm passionate about it. And I have this place.
Right.
And it's like, if you whatever you rap like, you can come as you are.
Yeah.
I hope you get influenced by what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But whatever you leave with, it's whatever you leave with, you cannot say
and I feel
provide,
like,
you know?
You know, and just like we talked about the generations, it happens locally too, where I feel like Coins' generation, Illicit, that group, they're about, what, mid-20s, 24, 25,
something like that now? Yeah,
That generation was super conscious.
Right.
Because those kids look back on the history, and they did their due diligence as far as what this culture is, where it came from. They all know it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they came to places like this. And, and maybe there was a little bit more going on as far as opportunities and venues and things like that then than there is now. But still, you know, I feel like they took it upon themselves. So as a new kid coming into hip-hop, you got to go and do the research.
Right.
You got to find out. And you come into a place like Light Sleepers. This place comes with like 20 years of history.
Right.
So everything that happened, I mean, look, you got the little... What is that? Project Bloat up there?
Oh, yeah.
Being a catalyst. You know,
history,
like,
bro. History.
Well, that, that record.
So that's why, I mean, but I feel like you're doing that. I feel like there's a handful of guys, Bone. I mean, there's a handful of guys that are
you guys.
Keeping it alive. I mean, we're trying to do it in our own small way through the education. And the other thing, too, doing this music education workshop, we've been able to earn a revenue stream for the group. Completely untraditional, outside of selling records.
Exactly.
And we've made more money through that than we have
any show.
Yeah, any show. And it's only because we have, you know, we got grants.
And that's how hip hop will pay.
And we're able to pay guest artists.
Because that is what you need to look at, is just find that revenue that's just out of the box.
Yeah.
Everybody's going from point A to point B in the same way.
Yeah.
You got to go another angle.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we talk about in our workshops to kids. Because as we're talking to kids, we're giving them history of who we are. We're giving them a little bit of history of our genre, of our art. But then we're also always mindful to remind them that, hey, the rules have changed.
Exactly.
You don't have to follow the traditional path.
Yeah, totally.
You don't have to like go every step traditionally like your parents or whatever.
Right.
Think outside the box. You can innovate. And that's the most important thing. Use your creativity. Tap into whatever your creativity is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And figure out how to bring that out and build your life around that. You know, I mean, that's the most powerful thing that hip-hop taught me.
Oh, yeah.
Whether I'm doing it or not through my art, I mean, it's a struggle. But as far as like, you know, and that's the final thing about it is I'm an artist. I'm an MC. I don't care if I'm 60, if I'm 70. I'm going to still try to rap.
Right.
I'm going to still write.
Right.
It's like you would never go to a painter and be like, hey, what, you're 30 and you're still trying to paint?
Yeah, exactly.
Why? Like, quit already.
Passion.
You're not a Van Gogh by now? Like, give it up. You know?
Yeah.
You would never say that, but hip-hop, you know,
Well, you're 30?
Disrespectful.
You're 35?
That's why a lot of groups
40?
Fall off.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of groups disappear.
Yeah.
When
a
lot of rockers still go till they're 80, and Grateful Dead is still out. You're not going to see that in, Das Effects is like 70. They're still out there. They're not going to... We're not going to see that.
Do you really want to see a 70-year-old Das Effect?
I might.
Biggity, biggity, rap.
Biggity,
depends
rap.
On the cost. But I mean, but we don't embrace it. We're like, wow, they were like good back in 97.
Yeah.
They fell off.
They're still good.
Everybody always likes to hate on the next guy. And be like, they're not in now.
It depends if the group try to do what the new kids are doing now.
And there's
that
factor too. Where they,
that's
are they sticking
you can,
to their own.
That hurts, man.
It's either you.
It hurts when you see that.
But it's either if it ain't broke, you don't fix it, or you change with the times, or you change with the times in a way where you're not copying.
Yeah, man.
So
maybe get new
angles.
One. Like KRS-One new one. He worked with new producers. Yeah. So it created a new, fresher sound for KRS.
And that's pretty crazy because he's got 50,000 albums, right? So for KRS to have a fresh sound in 2017.
It was, I didn't believe it was good, but it was actually, it's actually pretty good.
No, it's the best album he's put on years.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of example where you're going to have somebody who's
he's like,
pushing,
what, 60?
He's pushing 60. And he's still rhyming to guys, hopefully, that people in their 20s are still buying his stuff.
And I just heard a track, Everlast, Divine Styler.
Oh,
Divine Styler.
Sick Jackin.
Yeah, Sick Jackin, yeah.
They have a group together now. And it was pretty dope, man.
They're rapping?
They're
all
rapping. Yeah, they're rapping.
So Everlast is spitting.
Everlast is spitting, and it was pretty hard, man.
No, because Everlast was always
old man rap with the white beard.
Old man rap.
I mean, I can't grow a beard.
You can grow a beard.
I can't. I can't grow.
Really? Hawaiian can.
And I can't. I don't have hardly any white hair.
Really? Mine's coming in.
Sorry.
Yeah, see, you guys can. You guys
It still looks
there
like.
There you go.
But Everlast, he found a way to evolve for
Silent Stage knows Everlast.
Right, right.
Oh, that's right.
He actually sells a shout out to Silent Stage.
Oh, yeah, it's called War Porn. That's right, War Porn. War Porn Industries.
Oh, there you go. What up, Paulie?
No, it's dope, man. Okay. I heard a track.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so
you need to evolve.
Yeah.
You need to evolve. I mean, much like we do the show.
Yes.
Because like we started the show because it's unlike any hip-hop clothing line.
We wanted to do something different.
That we're doing something different where we can reach out to people who have no idea what any of this stuff is. And that's what's happening.
So the other show would say they got, you know, Naveed and they got Lian Wong and they got, you know, a wine dude. You got a random millennial.
We're going to go and tap on a market that has never been dealt with. Okay, here's some insider information, everyone, on why we started the show. But this is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's because nobody's doing this. We're all sticking with our hip-hop people.
Right.
And, you know, are having our... What are we doing? Okay, yeah.
It's gonna... Yeah, okay. Computer's gonna shut down.
Computer's gonna crap out.
In like 2 minutes.
Just a big shout-out to Tantra for winning the hip-hop award.
There you go, yeah.
Shout-out to Trey True. Nesta for winning the rock award.
Yeah, Nesta. Those are the wine I brought us.
That's my heavy metal.
That's the wine. Right, that's
the,
I gotta hear that.
Paka and Lolo,
bro. Death metal all day, bro.
Death metal wine.
It's dope to hear that.
And big sweep. I think Kea Ho won.
Kea Ho on every dang award.
Sweep. Give respect. They came in.
They're like, next generation.
No mercy.
Yeah.
They came in no mercy, slicing heads, and took it all.
Buggles is Hawaiian.
Taking names.
Even the guy that don't look that much Hawaiian, Buggles jabbing on that little Hawaiian.
They
put me to shame. I'm like, brah, I feel so dumb right now.
What does this guy look like?
No, it was actually a big deal. Like for Hawaiian music, for a Hawaiian language to win the major awards, like Album of the Year, and
right.
stuff, Hawaiian language album to win, was kind of a big deal.
Yeah. It is for the Hawaii
that's
industry.
That's way more significant.
Yeah, the Hawaii industry, the hoku.
Yeah, right.
The hoku in the Hawaii industry is it. Yeah.
Quite frankly, it really comes down to that,
right?
Okay, so before your computer blows up,
the
video camera
82 seconds.
Blew up already. Your phone is still on.
Yeah.
Okay, how much more we got?
176 seconds. It goes
down
to seconds.
Okay, let's close it up.
Yeah.
Let's close it down. All right. So any
final words?
Final words, comments?
No, check out Super Cooper, supercoopers.bandcamp.com. We got new music coming up. We have our albums Learn to Swim and Learn to Fly up. Some random EP stuff. Check out Scott Otoro.
Scott
just
album.
Put out his new album.
There you go.
Momoto. Scott's in Japan.
Yeah,
so while Alyssa and I were at the Hoku Awards schmoozing it up all high maka maka, he was out in Japan.
Yeah.
Living the life.
Take us next time.
Living the life. He left us.
Take us.
He left us. So yeah, you know, we got a bunch of new stuff coming out, and
check out
and submit,
iTunes.
Man. If you're a hip hop artist and you put out an album, submit for the Hokus because a lot of people work hard to keep this category or to create the category, and it's good. Let's use it. You know?
Shout out Angry Locals,
and it's fun.
Crystal,
go to the show,
awesome.
Go schmooze it up, buy a $10 cocktail. You know, have
you
$10 cocktail.
There you go.
$150 seat.
Yeah. No, it's $135.
Oh my bad.
Yeah, right.
$135
off, bro.
Hey.
Come on.
But yeah, submit and hit me up on social media if you want to know how. It's easy. I'll
yes.
give
What's
you
your social
website.
Media? What's the social?
Just Il Nomadic or Naveed Najafi. Navid Najafi.
Yes.
Or Super Groupers.
Well, we'll put it on top there.
Yeah,
on the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it then.
Excellent, sir.
Sleep time's
stuff,
over.
Man.
Cavit the Catalyst. DJ Zach Morris. Naveed.
Yo,
Super
edition.
Groupers.
Special edition.
Season
yes.
4.
There you go.
Episode 808.
808.
808. The stars of a
stars are shining along.
Gee, thank you, Joy.
Woo! Don't sleep. Sleep time's over.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.